We have a special treat this morning. You really don't need any introduction. Pastor Munn is going to be bringing the word this morning. I still remember the message you preached in November, and it was about the battle of the mind, depression, and it was so prophetic. It was a couple months before, you know, January, kicking off this whole thing about order, but how you had that in your spirit, you know, in November to tackle some of those tough things. And that message was convicting. How many, if you remember that, he said some things that were tough love. And we are blessed to have a man like Pastor Munn who covets the anointing, who hungers still to receive a fresh word from God, and who knows how to hear the voice of the Lord. You're going to be blessed this morning. The 9 a.m. was just fresh manna. You're going to do it again. We love you. We're so proud to just that you are here, that we can look up to you, that you are just one of the anchor bolts of this church. We love you. Everybody, can you join me in honoring Pastor Munn as he comes to bring the word?
Oh, good morning, everybody. So good to see you today. Big crowd this morning and a wonderful day of worship. I just love our worship team and how they bring it every Sunday. It's just powerful. And Linda, did you get that on our calendar, homemade, young married fellowship? See, Linda's 28, so I get grandfathered into that. Thank you, Brian. That was a great lead-in for me. I appreciate that. I'm so glad our pastor is able to take a breather. He's been hitting a lot of home runs. We appreciate his leadership. And him and Candace are just wonderful leaders in our church. He's been hitting all these home runs. I just hope to be able to get it out of the infield today. And really what I hope to do, in fact, I want you to pray about this. Just pray that I don't mess anything up, okay? That's really what I want you to pray about, that I just don't mess it up. But it's an honor to be here and share the word with you. I do feel like the Lord has given me a word for us today. So I want us to jump right into our message and just let the Lord speak. I want to talk to you today about the word replenish. And words are very important. If we don't understand the significance of certain words, we lose a lot in life. The word replenish means to fill up again, or make complete, to supply what is lacking. To supply what is lacking. You know, I love the words like restore, renew, revive. All those words are words that helps us to breathe life again. The word replenish. Because we need them all the time. I mean, how many of us are in the constant state of reviving something in our life? Like, I went outside the back of our house recently, and I had great-looking grass last year. Great-looking grass. But we had a lot of, you know, winter rain, and it washed some areas, and now I've got to go out there and replant some new sod out there. I looked in my wallet just a couple weeks ago, and I realized that I'm going to have to renew my driver's license this year. This is the year I've got to renew my driver's license. And every time I turn, I know this is going to hit some of you. How many of you would like to go home today and just reset some passwords? Isn't that fun? I just love to reset passwords. I mean, every time I turn around, somebody's saying, you got to reset a password. Okay, here we go. Think up a new password. And then even my car, and I want you to really feel sorry for me. Say, oh, my car sitting out in the parking lot, it's got a little special, you know, light on the dashboard right now that says there's something in my car that needs to be repaired. Come on. It's constant. Are you getting the idea that we need renewal everywhere in our life? And sometimes it's very urgent. I've been using a little humor here and there so far, but I want to get very serious with you. I had the Lord breathe a word to me sitting in the first service, and I think it's for this service as well. And this is the prophetic word the Lord said to me. There are people in this service that if they don't find renewal and revival in their life, they could lose some things in their life. Revival is so important to us. In fact, I read about Jennifer Brandt. She's an instructor and teacher at she teaches a class on CPR. And one night she was teaching at the American Red Cross building in Rochester, New York. And there was a man that was on the outside of the building and he had been shoveling snow. He came into the building to get a little bit of rest. And when he walked into the building, right outside the classroom where Jennifer was teaching, he had a massive heart attack. She saw it happen and she told her students to call 911. And she ran to him immediately and began to give him CPR. And she was able to revive him and save him. And he recovered because she responded so quickly. And they asked her, you know, after it was all over, how she felt about it. And she said, well, you know, that man, he was in the right place at the right time for us to be able to help him. At the right place at the right time. That's so important because you know what? You guys are in the right place at the right time for the Lord to send renewal and restoration and replenishment into your life today. We all need this. We may think that we don't need it, but we all need it because we are navigating a broken world. And we're going through a battle right now. Galatians 5 says there is a battle between the desires of our flesh and the desires of our spirit. And they are warring against one another. And you talk about wearing us out. We can get drained out, you know, facing stress and facing disappointments and relational stress and hurt and hurts and woundings and deadlines and responsibilities and problems and just hearing bad news all the time and experiencing spiritual warfare. It's a draining life that we're living. I'm not being negative, but it's truth. And if you're sitting here today and there's a sense of confusion in your heart, if there's a sense of disorder, chances are you need personal renewal and revival in some area. But the good news is that Jesus has invested in us. He really has. He's invested in great ways. He not only died to redeem us, but he has also committed himself to the process of keeping us and restoring us all through our journey in life. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. You know, we're post-resurrection right now. When Jesus came back after the resurrection, he spent 40 days with his followers. And in those 40 days, he restored Simon Peter. He restored doubting Thomas. He restored all the disciples. He talked to all of his followers about the kingdom of God. He was involved in restoration, with revival, with renewal. And this is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he said, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed or replenished day by day. I want us just to stop. I want you to pray with me. Will you bow your heads? Father, right now we just pray for renewal. The spirit of revival over this household. Lord, I'm not talking about a revival campaign. I'm talking about personal renewal in places that we need it. And Lord, I just come against the stronghold of discouragement. And in the power and authority of Jesus, I cast it down. Lord, I come against spiritual weariness. I come against the spirit of fear. And I pray for refreshing and replenishing, that the power of God restores our minds, that we are transformed today through the power of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So how do you restore your heart when it's been broken? How do you regain your footing when you have faltered or failed him in some way? How do you renew your mind when you get into unhealthy thinking? How do you replenish your spiritual life when you are fighting in hard battles? Well, the truth is that the Lord never intended for our whole spiritual life to be based on one experience with him. You know, one service, one Bible study, one people group, one moment of worship, even one Kairos revival, as great as it was, is not enough to sustain us. In fact, the Lord's will is that we would live in a continual state of renewal. You know why? We leak. You know, we just leak. And this is what Jesus was speaking about. And he said something prophetically in John 7:37. And here's my text. And I want you to take note of this. He said, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and he said this with a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers," plural, not one river, but many rivers, "rivers of living water will flow from within them." And then he goes on to say that he was speaking of the Holy Spirit that would be given after he was ascended. So Jesus described the possibility, the potential of rivers of living water flowing out of us to restore us and renew us and to help us to come back. Rivers of living water. I mean, can you imagine being in a hot desert that's 110 degrees and you're driving through and looking at all the scenery and all of a sudden your car breaks down and nobody's around and you've got to walk out of the desert at 110 degrees and you end up walking 10 miles to live, 10 miles to the nearest house, and by the time you get to the 10th mile, the last mile, I mean, you can barely put one foot in front of the other. You are exhausted. You're dehydrated. You're about to die. About to die. And you finally just stumble and struggle to get up to the front porch and ring the doorbell. And someone sees you, and living on the edge of the desert, they immediately know what's wrong. They carry you into the house. And they start hydrating, bringing you all kinds of cold liquids, and they get a wet towel and cold wet towel, and they put it on your head, and they've got to cool you down, and they get you hydrated and restored, and then they walk you to the backyard, and on their patio is a big, beautiful cool swimming pool, and they say, "Come on, just jump in and get cooled off." And you say, I think I'll take you up on that," and you jump in. How many knows you'd be refreshed? You'd be refreshed. And I just believe that some of you right now, you're going through some dry places, some barren places, some desert places in your life. I've been there. I've been through those tough moments when I felt like I didn't have anything left to give. People were looking to me to give, and I was saying to myself, I'm faking it, but really I don't have anything left. My well is really dried out and I don't have anything left. I was pastoring before I came to this church in Baton Rouge, and it was really a tough place to go because the church had been divided and broken up. The pastor had been unfaithful to his wife, and there was a lot of brokenness and woundedness in the church, and they sent me in to try to fix it and bring it together. And a building, they were building a new church, and it was unfinished, and we had to finish the building. And so I was running to and fro, counseling and trying to get a church built and raising money and doing all these things. And I want to tell you something, I got in over my head. I was exhausted. I was young, but I was tired. I was weary. I couldn't give anymore, and I reached a place that I call burnout. I mean, I would go home and just crash, and I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want to visit anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. I was depressed. I was anxious, and I just sat in the house. And Linda would look at me like, "What's wrong with you?" I was burned out. I had nothing to give. I could get myself together and go preach a sermon and then run back home. And I was hoping that nobody would notice that I would fake it. And just, you know, sometimes we say, if I can fake it, I can make it. I want to tell you something. You're not going to make it if you keep faking it. You're not. And so Linda, one Sunday I come in like that. And this has been going on for weeks. And Linda, she just stood up in the middle of the church service and stopped the whole service. Said, wait just a minute. Said, my husband needs prayer. I want the elders to come up and get around him and pray for him because he's exhausted. He's tired. He needs a touch of the Lord in his life. And they got around me, and I want to tell you something. They prayed a prayer of faith, and God came down. The Spirit of the Lord came down and refreshed me and touched everyone in the church. And heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I felt like the lion rose back up. Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you, there is the possibility that God can come into your life right now in this service, even before you leave this sanctuary, and pick you back up and give you strength and raise the lion out of your heart. And all those things that have been exhausted and weary and worn out, God can quicken in a moment of time. Amen. Hallelujah. It reminds me of the hymn. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my hand, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it in thy courts above. There's just something about the human existence that we just leak. We just wear out. I love Psalm 23, but I want to tell you my favorite verse in Psalm 23 is when he says, he makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And then this line, he restores my soul. Oh, he restores my soul. I can't restore myself, but he can restore me. And he restores my soul. In the Old Testament, soul, you know, we didn't have the teaching of body, soul, and spirit in the Old Testament. It was only the outward man and the inward man. And spirit and soul were seen as the same in the Old Testament. And so when the writer said he restores my soul, he's talking about he restores me on the inside. He picks me up when my thoughts are bad and my heart is weary and everything's falling apart. Philip Keller, he wrote a very famous book about shepherding because he was a shepherd. He was a sheep farmer. And it's an old book, but it's famous. He wrote all about Psalm 23, and he said that sheep can get a long fleece, and they're out, you know, in the grazing, and they get mud in their wool and their fleece, and then bugs and sticks and briars get in there, and first thing you know, they feel the weight of this all around them, and they can't stand up anymore. And he said they fall over, and they can't get up because they're so heavy. And he said they're called cast sheep. Cast sheep because they can't get back up. And he said, then something else happens. When you get down, he said, those sheep, the blood flows out of their legs back into their body and they get numb. And he said, if they stay there long enough, they will die in that position. Did you hear what I said? They will die there if they can't get back up and get restored. So the shepherd, he said, will go to them and stand them back up on their legs and begin to massage their legs and get their blood flowing again. And then, he said, they can be saved. And that's what the Lord does for us. He stands us back up when you're struggling at school and in the job and in your career and in your family as a parent, as a husband, as a wife with medical challenges and a broken heart with the disappointments of life. Jesus just said this. He said, the Father sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's his mission. Guys, that's his mission. We're not asking too much because this is why he came, was to heal your broken heart. And so I want us to reset our hearts this morning. I want you to experience renewal and restoration. I want him to refresh you and replenish your spirit. And so I've come up with three spiritual principles that have helped to energize my life. And I'm sure we could come up with 25 principles. But I'm just going to talk about three of them. And here's the first one. The unlimited, unrestricted God is reigning in us. He is in us, and He is for us. He's not only unlimited and unrestricted and omnipotent and almighty and all-powerful. He reigns in us. He lives in us, and He is for us. Aren't you glad of that? That He is for us? Look at your neighbor and say, God is for you. He is for you. And so what that means, I want you to write down this phrase, reignite your faith. Reignite your faith. Sometimes we have to renew our faith. We have to renew our anticipation that God wants to bless us. We have to renew the sense that we have an expectation that God is going to come through. I mean, when is the last time that you've actually said, I'm in a tough time, but I know God is faithful and He's going to bless me? When's the last time that you've said, I don't know where I'm going, but I know one thing, God is in me, His Holy Spirit abides in me, and He is victorious, and I know He's about to do something miraculous in my life. Hallelujah. You see, we've got to get to this place if we're going to be renewed, that we really believe that He can change us. We get wobbly. We get wobbly in our faith. That's a good word. I like the word wobble. Me and Linda, we went to out to eat the other day, and it wasn't a real expensive place. They sell hamburgers and things. Anyway, we sat down at a booth to eat, and the whole booth, when I sat down, was wobbling. It was doing like this. I mean, I was afraid that the hamburger was going to slide down into my lap before. I was almost holding the table with one hand and eating with the other hand. And that's the way our faith can become. Things can start slipping when we don't really keep our faith alive and well. I want to tell you, we can't live by our feelings. You know, just because you can't feel God doesn't mean that your life is over or something is wrong. Your feelings and emotions are going to go up and down like a roller coaster. Life is all over the board, baby. Come on. You've got to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that we cannot see. And so faith keeps us standing when everything else around us is moving, because we have faith not in our faith, but faith in Him. And He is unlimited, and He is unrestricted, and He is living in us, and He is what? For us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So Abraham had to replenish his faith. In fact, he says in Romans 4:20, Paul said about Abraham, he said, no unbelief made him waver. I'm going to put the word wobble in there. No unbelief made him wobble concerning the promises of God. But the Bible said he grew strong in his faith. He grew. He kept developing more faith as he gave glory to God. Fully convinced. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised. Are you fully convinced that God is going to help you right now? If you are, if you had this expectation and this anticipation, then you can be revived. You can breathe fresh air. You know, sometimes I admit it. Hey, this is who I am. Sometimes I just kind of get pessimistic about, you know, I say I'm a realistic person. That's what I tell them. I'm just being realistic. I'm just being honest. Actually, sometimes I'm just negative. And I have to revive my faith. It was like I was watching the Braves play Friday night. We're in the eighth inning. Linda comes through the room. She said, how's it going? I said, they stink. They're way behind. Lo and behold, in the ninth inning, they tie it up. Miracle, a miracle. Then in the tenth inning, they win the thing. I'm like, oh, ye of little faith. Last night, I start watching them again. Here we go. How are they doing? They stink. I hadn't learned a thing. Eighth and ninth inning, if they don't come back and win it again, you've got to believe. Hebrews 11:6 says that we must believe that he exists, that God exists. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are unlimited possibilities. Stop thinking so small. God is a God of endless possibilities. He can seam together millions of little details to get to you and to help you. He works in ways beyond our comprehension to somehow do a miracle in your life, and we stand back and say, I'm going to be depressed. Come on. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater. Would you say greater? He who is in you is what? He is greater than he who is in the world. He's greater than anything that we're going to face. That word greater is the Greek word megas. We get the word mega out of it. It's the word that means tremendous, powerful, loud, strong, great. He is in you, and he's strong and great and powerful. And he lives in you. So when we say, I can't take this anymore, come on, stop it. Stop it. When you say, I'm just not able, I'm disqualified, I don't have the ability, stop it. When you say, I can't take this, I can't make it, I'm not going to get through this, stop. He is in you. Revive your faith. You know, I was praying one day a couple weeks ago, and I had a prophetic moment. I mean, out of nowhere, as I was praying, I had this prophetic picture. It just came to me out of nowhere. It was a matchbox. Wow. I could just see a matchbox. I hadn't been thinking about matches, but all of a sudden I see a matchbox, and the Lord spoke so clearly to me. He just simply said, break out of your matchbox thinking and praying. Break out of it and believe me for greater things. Believe me for greater things. I want to tell you something. The space in a matchbox is very small. And when you think that's all that God has is that little bit, you're going to limit him to what he can really do. God is omnipotent and powerful. He is greater. Say it again. Greater. He is greater, and he can move mountains for you. So take your faith. Let God build it and raise it up. Begin to expect him to do great things, and it's going to refresh and renew your heart. I'm going to break out. Come on. I'm going to break out. Break out and believe God. Amen. Hallelujah. The second principle is this, that if we're going to be revived, we have to start hearing the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to his voice. You know, this is an energizing principle. Because we're not going to be revived and restored and replenished unless we are being led by the Holy Spirit. In fact, Romans 8:14 said, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. If you are discouraged and depressed and defeated and spiritually exhausted, You're there because you haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit. You haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit. Because when you listen and you're led by the Holy Spirit, you get stronger and victorious. If you want to get out of your spiritual funk, you've got to start hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, because the Bible says that He is leading us and guiding us into all truth. He is speaking to His children today. Right now, He's speaking to our sons and the sons and daughters of God. You are hearing the voice of the Father speaking to you if you tune in, if you listen. So I want you to make a decision today that you're going to start getting sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Stop saying, "That's my imagination. That's a lie of the devil." Come on, I want you to get sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. All you men will understand this. Have you ever been out with your wife at a social event and you say something kind of stupid and all of a sudden you feel this poke in your left rib? Oh! Or sometimes it's a kick in the shin, you know, like under the table. And you say, "Uh-oh, I better correct that. I've done something wrong." You know what that is? That's a loving nudge. It's a loving nudge. The Holy Spirit gives us nudges. And I call them holy nudges. I'm going to define it this way. Holy nudges are the promptings and leadings of the Holy Spirit so that we can accomplish God's purpose and make an impact with our lives. He's talking to you. Are you listening? You know, why do you think this is so strange? You know, fathers love to talk to their kids. I don't have seven kids, but I've got two. And I'm going to tell you, I love both of them, and they're both great. And if I don't get to talk to them, they're both here this morning. If I don't get to talk to them, you know, after a few days, I'm calling them on the phone. I want to check out what's going on. How you doing? How are you feeling? What's happening? I want to hear their voice because I'm a dad. I want to speak to my children. And you don't think that Father God wants to talk to you and speak to you and lead you and guide you and direct you? And He does it with His Word. He does it with His Spirit. He does it with spiritual gifts. He does it through other brothers and sisters. But He's communicating. He leads us. Luke 4, 1, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and returned from the Jordan and was led, listen to this, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness? He was led? Yes, sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us into tough places because He has an assignment for us. He's got a purpose for us. He's got jobs for us to do. He is trying to get us to where He wants us. He's got this thing He has that is a perfect thing for us. He's working all things together for good. And when we have a place to go, we can only get there if we're being led. And so when you are led in the wilderness, your labor's not in vain. Oh, I want to encourage somebody. Your tears are not in vain. Your struggles are not in vain. Your hard work is not in vain. Everything you poured in your marriage is not in vain. What you put into your children is not in vain. Just keep hearing the Holy Spirit. His disappointments sometimes are really our appointments. Our appointments. We think it's a disappointment, but really it's an appointment for us. R.T. Kendall, that was with us recently, he wrote a great book. I've had this book for years in my office. It's called The Sensitivity of the Spirit. And he said that this young couple went over to Jerusalem to serve as missionaries, Christian missionaries, leading Jews to Christ. And he said, "We were excited to be able to have a house right on the edge of Jerusalem." Oh, he said, "We got so excited." And he said, "We hadn't been there very long." And he said, I noticed that a dove actually built a nest in the front of that house." And we said, "That's the Lord speaking right there. He's just saying, I'm well pleased. And I brought you here and I'm using you. And I've even sent a dove to your house." But he said that we begin to notice that if we slammed the door or if we had a loud conversation, the dove would get frightened and would fly off. So we had to sit down and talk about it as a couple. And we said either we're going to let him adjust to us and hope that he stays, or maybe really what we need to do is adjust to the dove so we can make sure he stays. And that's what they did. And I want to tell you, if you want the Holy Spirit to speak to you, you have got to adjust your life to hear him. You've got to be sensitive to his voice. Paul said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit, he said in another place. Don't put the fire of God out in your life, but welcome his presence. Expect him to speak. Lord, speak to me. I open my heart. I'm going to quiet down my life enough so I can hear you. And when you do, he's going to guide you and lead you. It's going to energize you. It's going to encourage your heart. And lastly, let me talk about one other principle. These are principles that will help revive your life, revive your heart, replenish you. The third one is this: fiercely hold on to your identity as a beloved son or daughter of God. In spite of however you feel, whatever happens, you fight to hold on to your identity as the beloved children of God. Okay? Now, this is one of my favorite Bible teachings. I've put a lot of time, I've taught this many times, because it's been such a blessing to me. Matthew 3:17, when Jesus was baptized, you know the story, and he came up out of the water, the Bible said that the Father spoke out of heaven, and he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That happened again on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Father said again over Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I think that sunk so deep into Jesus, the human Jesus. He was God and he was man, fully God and fully man. And that identity sunk into his humanness and kept him. You see, God gave that to him as a father before he went into ministry. After that event, he was taken in the wilderness and he began doing great ministry. And I think that identity kept him through the wilderness, through everything the devil said to him. He heard the whisper, I'm the beloved of Father God. Every time that he went through a time of rejection, he heard the voice, I am the beloved of Father God. When he was talked about and lied about and mistreated and mishandled and used and abused, he was always hearing the voice of the Father. You are my beloved one. I love you. Now, I want to tell you, I've struggled for years trying to understand this word beloved. I mean, really, what does it feel like? What does it feel like to be beloved? Well, that means you're crazy about somebody. If you're my beloved, that means that you're crazy about them. It's a cherishing. It's like you're my treasure. My heart is poured out to you. You have all my affection. It is intense love. It's not like I just love you. It's like you're my beloved one. You understand? Now, what's cool about this is what was said about Jesus has also been said about you. You are called the beloved of the Father. Oh my goodness. Let me read you a passage. John 17:23. One of the most amazing passages in the entire Bible. I mean, I read this and it blows my mind. I still can't understand it. But listen to this. Father, you Father, have sent me. And you Father have loved them, speaking of his followers, as you have loved me. He is saying that Father God loves his followers, you guys, everyone that calls the name of Jesus. He loves you just like he loves Jesus Christ, his son. In the same way that he loves Jesus is the way that he loves you. Is that something? Paul said it this way in Colossians 3:12. He said, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy, and here it is, and beloved. You are beloved. That's who you are. You're the beloved ones in Christ. And Father looks at you that way. I mean, I was saved when I was 7 years old in a vacation Bible school. And, you know, it was a wonderful event. I'm thankful I was raised in church and saved at a young age. And I was taught to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? But it took me a long time to really understand what that meant. We can say it, but we have to also internalize it. And this is hard when you were raised in a home where your mother or your father didn't really tell you that they loved you. They didn't really affirm you. Maybe your dad wasn't even around. Maybe your mother was angry. Or worse, talked to many, many men who said, I never even knew my dad. Or, yeah, I knew him, but I tried to stay as far away from him as I could. He was always angry. Or precious women that have talked to me and said, I was sexually abused by my father. I just can't even get my mind wrapped around that. And when you come out of a home where you've suffered with abandonment or abuse, or and you haven't really found that love, and you're here this morning, and I'm telling you that Father God calls you his beloved one, that's difficult for you to get your mind even wrapped around that. How can I be his beloved one? I want to tell you, by the miracle of his grace, by the miracle of his sacrifice, because God chose by his omnipotent power to love you that way. That's why. And sometimes we have to go through a process. I call it spiritually reparent. You got to spiritually reparent. In other words, you've got to get to the place where you can say, you know I didn't get it from my mom or my dad in this earthly life, but praise God, I have come into a new life with Father God, and he has now called me his beloved one. And listen to me now. Your spiritual identity as a son or a daughter of God is more powerful and potent and eternal than any kind of relationship you have with an earthly mother or father. I don't care how perfect they were. It doesn't even begin to be as strong and mighty and miraculous as God's love for you. And so what does that mean for me? Well, I am not what I have. I'm not. My identity is not wrapped up in a house or a car or a bank account or retirement fund or I'm not what I have. I tell you something else. I'm not what I do. I'm a minister, a pastor, a teacher, counselor, but hey, I'm not just what I do. I am something else. I'm not what you say about me. I hope you say good things, but if you say bad things about me, I'm not what you say. That's not my identity. Say what you want to say. This is who I am. I am the beloved Son of God. That's who I am. And that identity is going to restore me. It's going to renew me every day. Every day. That's who I am. I want you to say it with me. Say it with me. I am not what I have. I am not what I do. I am not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. That's who I am. I want to close with a story. Henry Nouwen said he went to see a circus in Europe on vacation, and he got so carried away watching these trapeze artists that he took the rest of his vacation and traveled with them for a week and interviewed them. They were called the Flying Rodleys. And it was so neat because they talked to him, and he said, the lead guy, the guy that was in charge of the whole troop, he said, we have three flyers and we have two catchers. He said, I'm the lead flyer. And he said, you know, people just think I'm great. I stand on a pedestal, and he said, I leap off into the air, and I'll do triple somersaults. I'll do double somersaults with a twist and a turn. I do these different moves. And then when I get back down, people applaud and think, oh, wow, how talented you are, how great. But he said, I'm not the hero. He said, because we have two catchers. And he said, the catchers, they are on this swing, and they're hanging by their legs, and they have to time it out just right. So when this guy is doing three, you know, whatever, in the air, flipping around, and he comes to this certain place, he's got to time it out that he'll swing out just at the right place and catch him. He said, he's the hero. Not the flyers. The catchers are the ones. But he said, years ago I learned something, that catchers have this terrible temptation. The flyers have this terrible temptation. That is, they want to catch the catcher. This guy over here that's doing all these triples and flips and somersaults and all this stuff, the tendency is to panic in the moment and try to catch hold of the catcher. And he said, you can't do that, because when you do, he said, you're going to break his arm, you're going to break your wrist, you'll both fall, you could both be killed. You can't do that. He said, there's only one thing you can do. You have to trust that when the catcher comes down and you're doing all the flips and you get to this one place, the only thing you do is you stick your hand straight out. And you just trust that he is going to be there to catch you. Some of you are in this place, and you really need to trust the Lord right now. You don't know how it's going to end. You need revival. You need renewal in your heart to be able to understand that you are God's beloved and he is not going to let you fall. He's going to catch you. You can't fight and make it happen. Just stretch your arms out to him. Father, I trust you. I know you'll be there for me. I know that you'll catch me. I don't have the answers for this problem. I don't know how I'm going to get this financial issue worked out. I don't know how I can fix my marriage. I don't know how I'm going to get through this addiction. I need freedom so much. Lord, all I can do is just stretch out myself to you and trust you to catch me. Because, listen, you are his beloved one. You're cherished and treasured. His eyes are ever upon you. He will never fail you. Maybe you're grieving the loss of a loved one this morning. And you feel the pain of that loss. I want to tell you, he will catch you. He will catch you. Restoration. Revival. That's what we're talking about. Will you stand with me? Just bow your heads and close your eyes. some of you are here today. If you don't have a personal revival, you're about to lose something. That's what the Lord said to me. I don't know who you are, but one or all of these points has really pierced your soul today. You need your faith ignited again. You need to start believing Him again. You've taken your eyes off of the Word of God. Some of you are just, you haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit. You haven't really been seeking guidance and direction. And He's trying to guide you right now. He knows where He's taking you. And some of you just got your identity mixed up. You've let the world talk you out of who you really are. You're not going to fall. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If that's you, and you'd say, Pastor, I need a fresh touch of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you're here in this room right now. And you say, I need a fresh anointing. I need the Lord to renew my mind and restore some things. I'm going to ask you to step out from where you're standing and just stand here with me at the altar for a closing prayer. Come on, in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to ask anybody to pray for anybody. I just want you to come and stand as the beloved of God and to say, I need a personal revival. There's some things in me that are lacking. There's some places in me that are hurting. I need a revival. I need the Lord to come and pick me up. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. From the up in the balconies, I see you coming. God bless you. Oh, I just honor the presence of the Holy Spirit. I feel the holy hush of heaven all over this place. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Arville, can you sing We're Standing on Holy Ground? Thank you, Jesus. I want to just take a moment. I'm slowing down because I don't want to get ahead of the Holy Spirit. I want Him to minister to you, and I feel like He's going to.
We are standing.
We're standing on holy ground. The Lord will say to you, I have called you to strengthen you, says the Lord. For you have thought you were lost, and you have stumbled in your weakness, but I have come to lift you up. You have thought that I was away, that I'd forsaken you, but I tell you that I saw every step you've taken, and I hear the heartbeat of your soul. I know the tears on your pillow, and I've come today to say that I will never leave you. You're mine. I bought you with a price. I know you by name, and I've given you a new name, and I will give you strength to stand. Those around you will not understand your strength, but I call you to a new strength. I call you to rise up and believe me, says the Lord, for I am all that you need. Thank you, Lord. Come on, raise your hand and just begin to praise him right now.
Let us pray.
Hallelujah. So, Father, right now I lift up everyone that stands in this altar that came, Lord, dependent upon you. If you don't touch them, oh, Lord, they can't make it. But we know that you're here and you're touching them right now. And so, Lord, we just pray your power, your strength. Lord, I pray physical healing in the name of Jesus across this congregation. Be healed in the name of Jesus right now. Be healed, be strengthened, be encouraged right now. I speak the word of revival over your mind, that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you are looking up right now, that you are hearing the word of God, and it is quickening up your faith, and you're moving from faith to faith. You're coming to a higher level in the name of Jesus. I declare it over you that you are blessed right now. You're not defeated. Lord, I just pray that you transform us. Those that are carrying those heavy burdens, thank you, Lord, that you lift them now in the name of Jesus. We take authority over every demon, over every power of hell. We cast down your lie. You are not victorious in this house. Jesus is Lord. He is alive. He is in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. So we receive it, Lord. Come on, praise him. Worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance unto you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you and go with you today.